podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL. Had to fuck.
You had to fuck.
Had to fuck. People are clamoring for a fuck.
All right.
Had to fuck.
How'd it feel?
I'm juiced up.
Okay.
Yeah, juices are flowing. Adrenaline's flowing.
How are you, sir?
I'm wide awake. I'm good. Yeah. How are you?
I'm wide awake. I'm dreaming.
Dude, game week one, FPL.
It's fun.
The schedule being back to normal.
Oh my God. That's the underrated biggest thing of the weekend was the slate at 7 o'clock.
The slate and the fans.
It was so good.
That's what it's all about. Yeah. You don't even care that you're watching like a terrible game on TV. Like all the TV games were bad in that slate, but it doesn't even matter because there's just so much action and so many dongs. Yeah, well, and
I was watching Palace. So.
Well, you were watching Palace, but the other games were really bad.
No, I gotcha. I thought the Leicester Wolves game was entertaining.
It was okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting things to see there.
That's another thing. Game week one, everything's
interest. Oh my goodness. This, get ready for a very long pod listener.
Yeah, I think the pod length maxed at the Friday My Life right before game week one. We did 2 actual hours. And
let's
then
just do 3.
It's going to go down from here, but they're still going to be long. It's a curve.
Yeah, the first few are always long.
Everything's relevant.
Everything is important.
Yeah.
Every point of data is a data point.
Everything is in its right place.
Yeah. A little Radiohead action.
Yesterday I woke up sucking a lemon or something. How'd you do, dude?
I have 93. Feel pretty good in terms of that point total. 900, 911. Never forget.
Yeah.
911K rank.
Never forget K.
Feels like a very adequate and happy start. Just meeting potatoes with Captain Mo and having Bruno. I was talking to Lauren, my lovely wife, about just like, I feel like we're sort of a little bit evolving of just not doing like really dumb shit, like at least at the beginning.
Us.
Me and you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like we didn't spend 3 minutes talking about not having either of those players.
Yeah. No.
And that was obviously correct after 1 week of data.
Yeah.
And then I got, I got the shimmy cast and Trent and Antonio got me points. I got the Luke Eiling goal off the bench. Thank you, Veltman, for being a close contactor. And then it blanks. All my fun guys blanked, but whatever. 93.
Sort of
happy.
The theme of the weekend, I would say, is
template.
Template is unstoppable, and everyone else didn't do much. It's the same for me. I mean, my points are all the same guys.
Yeah.
Benrahma instead of Antonio, but otherwise it was just Captain Mo, Bruno, Trent Ayling. I didn't have Sim.
Yeah.
And that was basically the difference between our two teams.
Yeah. I mean, how about Ayling for both of us coming off the bench after
what
his first
a
goal of
hero.
4,000 minutes of his fucking prem. He dongs a worldie, and we're just like it happened. I was in hindsight, so upset about it because we would have been celebrating it so much more if we knew it was in our team.
We didn't know.
Yeah, he was on our bench. I was like, oh, whatever, fucking, of course, Ayling scores his one goal of his life when he's on our bench. And then he, that was a nice thing, though.
Even afterwards, it was they still conceded 5, so whatever, I still started the right guy, it felt like it. And then the team sheets come out, Veltmania on the squad. But I was on 90, so I'm at 1.1 mil. Perfectly reasonable start to the season.
Yeah. All right.
Strikers combined for 1 shot. Don't like that, but.
Well, they didn't have 0 shots.
They have 37 more games, so. Let me shout out to the prize league leaders, mug league leaders for August
Is it bad that we don't say our teams, though? I feel, understand if people want
I always
to
forget.
Know that.
Yeah, I always forget. I mean, we post our teams before the deadline.
I don't have Twitter, so how could we expect listeners
to
have Twitter?
Yeah, so run through your team really quick.
So I stuck with Bachman and goal. I have Shimkas, Trent, Ayling, Veltman, Hoover at defense. And then my midfield is Jack, the lad, Grealish, Mo, Bruno, Zaha. And then up top, I have Bamford, Jim, and Antonio.
Yeah.
That's what I went into the battle with.
Bobby Sanchez at the back. My defenders are Trent and 4-4-5s. I've triple Brighton with Webster Veltman, Ailing, White, and then Mo Bruno, Mane, Benrahma, 4-5, Gilmore on the bench, and then Tony Bamford up top and a non-playing third forward.
Yeah. Okay. He'll go
and
to
that's
the...
Ivan Tony, not Antonio.
Ivan Tony. Yeah.
I knew we need like a nickname for him because I can't just say Tony because that means too many
it
things.
Is confusing.
Yeah. Tony we'll to me means something. Martial.
Yeah, me too.
All right, we'll sort that out.
But Ivan is Brana.
Ivanovic, yeah.
Yeah, so we're in trouble.
Maybe we could, yeah, we'll figure that
okay,
out.
Okay, we'll get it. We'll
something
get it.
Will
we'll
come.
We'll get something.
Something
oh,
will
yeah,
come.
Course, always does.
Always does. So, three-way tie for first place in the Mug League after game week one, at all at 122 points, pole position for the first Mug of the season. Christy Ray, a.k.a. Tio, a.k.a. Chucky, a.k.a. the Trentatodes, bench boosted 18 points into his team. Ben Monkman, a.k.a. the Seagull Trawler Sardine, Triple Cap Mo, and Cameron Spanner, Spanner in the Works, a.k.a. Span Dinkles, also Triple Captain Mo. You need
those
a chip.
Those are some Discord contributors right there. Good job.
I mean, apparently
you
need to use chips to win mugs these days. It's just too competitive. I mean,
of course you do. There's like 7,000 people in the fucking league. I don't know.
I'm 338th. I was like, oh, I'm having a decent week. And I'm like, wow, I'm not on the first fucking 30 pages.
Yeah, of course you're not.
And then shout out to the leader of the FML field, Public Link, Jimbo Murphy, a.k.a. Gross Point Blank. I'm 139, Triple Cap Mo, and just... that's it. The rest of his team is just God tier. His only blanker is Bob Sanchez.
Yeah. Good for you.
Good job by him. All right, bro. Where to begin? Everything's a thing.
I don't even know. I feel genuinely overwhelmed right now. I have so many thoughts and so many things swirling around in my mind palaces. I don't know what to do.
In my
what do you
palaces.
Want to start with? Where do you
let's,
want to go?
Let's start with Man United. We got a few questions all on right. Man United. Ben Arfa, is Paul an option in midfield? He's only 7'5". Ozzy, early thoughts on Greenwood. And Deadlands, thoughts on Greenwood versus Paul. Is Sancho going to force Mason out of the 11? Paul must be nailed as long as they're playing smaller clubs in this early run. That's with a question mark. Also, Varane got announced at 5-5. They obviously destroyed Leeds 5-1. What's up?
Yeah, you know, they look good. Leeds were very, as they were sort of at the beginning of last season, open against the top, you know, against the top side instead of kind of being a little bit more conservative, which they ended the season on. But I don't know, man. United seem to have their number. I mean, they just kind of do them every time they play them. The last, like, I don't know. And
it was 6-2 last time at Old Trafford.
Every time, two out of two times. But you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, the players obviously all like played well for Manchester United. It was a very, very lopsided game. It was not even remotely close to being competitive. Yeah. And I mean, Paul was just running the show. It was insane how much Paul was pawling so hard. His hair was very good on point. I like the blue and he had double color going with his little stripe thing. That's a good job for him.
He's so good.
Four fucking assists. Doesn't even play 90. He's just insane, dude. And I mean, Greenwood was also very good.
Every touch is just ridiculous with him.
Silky Greenwood sex.
Basically everyone was good. Even the bad players were good.
Fucking Fred scored.
Fred scored. McTominay was like making runs, completing passes. Yeah. Like,
well, let's not give Dan James no credit that he was awful. He was so fucking bad.
He just is a, you know what he is? He's like a child playing tag. And he just is like, you just can't get him. He's really fast and quick, but like he's just playing tag out there. But yeah, I mean, that's what the United guy said right on the Anfield Rap show this morning, was talking about exactly that. He was probably a little over cautious and pessimistic, maybe more so than the average Manchester United fan, but he was saying like they just have their number. Like they play, Leeds play perfectly into United's hands, and I basically agree. And you know, maybe we should have doubled up on them for that reason. It was just not really competitive. And you know, the good thing with Leeds is like they take these on the chin and they keep going, and they're going to play the exact same way. And next time they'll be the one that score five.
Well, Leeds, we have to, we'll spend a few minutes on
them.
Yeah,
we'll talk about them.
We're talking about Manchester United, though.
So, I mean, and then the most important thing to me is like, you look at Southampton next.
Yeah.
And they're the worst two center backs in the league, or the worst pairing, maybe with the keeper.
Benderick has to come back in.
They the triangle of their center backs and the keeper.
Their spine is, yeah, I mean, Romeo is okay, but, I mean, how about Bruno? He fucking opened by hat trick. Are you kidding me? He was unreal. It was the best game I've ever seen him play from a fantasy perspective. He was playing like an auxiliary striker.
He made more striker runs than Greenwood did. Genuinely.
Yeah, he was down the
middle.
It was insane. His position was insane. It was nuts.
Yeah, one of the things I was thinking about when I was watching that Bruno performance was like, obviously the third goal, world class, insane fucking worldie. The other ones are just like scrappy fucking grinder goals, and that's what he does, man. Yeah. That's just what he does. If you're in the right areas enough times and do that enough times, you get the points.
Yeah, he has a good sixth sense for where the ball is going to drop, and his positioning and his movement. He just always anticipates so well and
the confidence.
Around he shoots. He does. Yeah. So, in terms of FPL options, I mean, Paul, you know, we know that he obviously is one of the best players on the planet. Can he do it consistently? I mean, is he really a legitimate FPL option? Is he going to be positionally, you know, in the spots game on game for FPL that you want him in? I think those are all very uncertain questions that would put me
unanswerable.
Off. Unanswerable. Yeah. Until we get a few in a row.
Yeah.
Southampton, Wolves, Newcastle, though, I mean, you could also paint that picture the other way and say those are all very good games that he could just boss and dominate.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's always an option. We know that. We've been talking about that since, you know, fucking for 6 years.
Yeah, actually.
I definitely like him more than Greenwood just because I think that the minutes for Greenwood are still, you know, Martial came off the bench, Sancho came in.
Yeah.
I just don't know that he's going to be playing that consistently. He's still so young, you know, and I mean, he has tendencies to kind of go invisible, even though I thought he was exceptional against Leeds. I thought he was very, very good.
Yeah.
But I still, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think they're both okay for right now, but if I'm buying, I don't know if I'm buying either. What do you think?
I'm just so sketched out by the minutes and the personnel and just the amount of guys that have, like, I don't know what about Paul would make him scream out, like, he's my left winger for Leeds, but not my left winger for Southampton or whatever that decision may be. But I also feel equally unconfident that, like, I can't predict that, the answer to that. Like, I would never say Dan James is in my team, but he plays every Leeds game. You know, like, there's little things that I just feel like are so out of our control. And honestly, like, the best thing might be a full rotation. That might be the best thing for the team. You know, if you have guys who are roughly the same level and, you know, get some minutes in Cavani, get some minutes in Tony and whatever. So I feel a little bit sketched out to go there, but if there was just anyone else nailed in the attack other than Bruno.
Sancho is the answer to that. It's just a matter of when. I mean, when? It could be now. Like, he could start Southampton.
Played 15 minutes.
Yeah. But he's 9.5, which is very expensive. So
yeah.
I think like Greenwood's definitely, you know, you hold if you have him.
Of course.
Obviously. Yeah. And, you know, Paul when Cavani already is back.
Price rose.
Yeah. I mean, when Cavani's back. I mean, that's the thing. One thing with Paul is the minutes aren't really in question. Like, when he's fit, he plays. And if he wants a move, he better, like, get his fucking shit together.
Right.
So that people are going to be willing to spend, you know, 400K wages that he's going to be asking for.
Right.
So he definitely has that incentive. And, you know, that seems like the kind of a Paul thing. And, you know, I mean, yeah. So, I don't know. I think it's all a bit fucked. What about 67% owned Luke Shaw? Absolutely fucked everybody for having
fine.
Luke Shaw.
Like, yeah, whatever. He didn't do much. It was fine.
Yeah, fine.
The yellow card felt great. Felt like a fucking goal.
Loved it. Yeah, loved it. Feel like a goal.
Someone just typed
it.
Like Luke Mustard in the Discord and was just like, get it.
I mean, when Adam Armstrong scores this weekend, it will feel just as good.
Can't wait. You think Lindelof's going to keep Varane out of the team with that worldy assist?
So, I mean, Leeds, they were missing Calvin Phillips. Holy shit, they were fucking disgusting.
I literally wrote the words on the sheet that I'm reading from right now that says Calvin Chape Hole.
Yeah, Calvin Chape Hole.
So ridiculously bad. Like, United, XG, they overperformed, but it felt like they could have scored more when you're watching the actual game, because anytime they long balled it forward or threw ball down the middle, it felt like it came off, and they got through and they got behind all the time.
Yeah. I mean, the performance from Leeds was kind of shocking. Individual performers, Rafinha was very bad.
So Harrison,
I mean, I just don't think Harrison's good, but he was very bad.
Yeah, but Click was worse.
Click's always bad. Rodrigo gets hooked at halftime. He could have got hooked at fucking 20 minutes. He was disgusting.
And my love, Meslier, was absolutely diabolical, too. He probably could have saved a couple of those goals, and his distribution that Aiden kept pointing out was awful. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
A lot of the goals were him, giveaway or long ball inaccurate, then United came back and scored.
Yeah, I'm worried about Bamford and Rodrigo coexisting. I don't think he can play them if they're playing any team that's decent.
Right.
Together.
Like, Rodrigo doesn't give him enough work, you think?
Yeah, they just...
Maybe.
They just don't coexist well.
I just think it was a whole... There were a lot of guys missing out, too, you know? Like, Dallas shouldn't be left back. It should be...
Yeah, he should.
Dallas, Rodrigo, and Calvin midfield is a lot different, you know?
Yeah. And, I mean, Click needs to be... He's like... He is their Millie to me. He's so bad. I just... Every time he's fucking playing, they're... bad. Like, he's bad and slow and behind everything and out of position. He's like, counterattacks are right because he's fucking in the wrong place.
I want to clarify, it's Milivojevic, not Milner, so everyone's not raging right now.
I despise him. I despise watching Click play.
Yeah, no, I hate everything about him. But yeah, Leeds in general, I mean,
they'll be fine.
They'll probably be fine. I'm still like, yeah, whatever.
I thought was great. I mean, he was doing everything he always does and is supposed to do.
Right, just,
everyone around him was disgusting.
Yeah, and he just didn't have many opportunities. They played a better team and they got destroyed, and that happens.
Yeah. All right. Let's get off this game. What else we got?
We got some Chelsea questions. You watched that game closely. Aunt Martha back in action. Said Chalaba ? And then Jeff Dean said, there seem to be so many good forwards that aren't premium. Does it make sense to wait on Lukaku for not giving his fixtures and those cheaper options? And
okay, well, I mean, none of these are really Chelsea questions. They're more like macro strategy questions. let's do the Lukaku one, because I think that's a good question. I mean, he's 11.5.
For now, obviously, it's wait and see. He hasn't played a minute yet. I don't think he'll start against Arsenal, but he'll probably get some minutes and then maybe start against Liverpool would be my guess.
Okay.
I mean, he's a world-class player. He's going to be incredible. Is he going to be enough? Is he going to force our hand that we're going to have to change our structure and make one of these seemingly, for now, good 7.5, 8 forwards into him? Unknown. I mean, we're one week in, the answer would be no, right? Antonio Hald, Callum scored, Dings gets a pen. Like, all of these guys fucking scored and returned. But, you know, a few blanks later, we might be tempted to go there. It's just keep an eye on it for now. That's it.
Yeah, we're also helped out a lot by their fixture run. I mean, they play, I mean, at Arsenal's actually a fucking good fixture, but they have Liverpool, Villa, Spurs, Man City in the next 5.
Yeah.
It's not a very good run, so he's going to have time to bet in and get minutes in his legs. But,
yeah,
I mean, one thing that we do know is he's a 200-point player.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 11.5. He's going to be getting hauls. We remember when he was in the Premier League's flat track bully, destroys the shitty teams, very reliable captaincy option. You know, I think the answer, I think, is yes. I don't think you're going to really be doing well if you're trying to cover, you know, ROM and then the ROM cap games by, you know, spreading it around with players like, you know, Callum and Antonio or whoever the fuck. 11.5 is expensive, but there are also so many good budget players right now that we're looking at emerging already just through one game. So I think it's not going to be too difficult to have Mo, Bruno, and Rom, you know, in your team.
Yeah. I mean, I already have that structure. So
yeah, and you have Trent. Like, so you basically, that's just a double swap for you. Yeah, it's an easy, easy job, easy game. So
on the other related point, I mean, if Kane plays for Spurs, or if Kane plays for Man City, or if Kane plays for fucking whoever, he's also going to be a massive factor. You know, so there's just so many, there's so many good players. You know, Kev is around the corner. There's room.
Kev is going to be out for a while.
Oh yeah, wow, 78 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you know, the Pepening and the Jackening and the Keving. But yeah, it's like it might be the type of season where we're jumping around premiums for cap hauls or something. And there's
it's going to be the cap
hall. It seems like it because, yeah, like the said, Rom, home, you know, insert bottom five team,
banker. Norwich or whatever.
Yeah. Mo, Bruno. We know what they do. Kane, we know what he does. Like, it's just seen it.
I think one thing, you know, Norwich, Brentford, I mean, Watford were good, but, you know, the gulf in quality of, like, the top four to, you know, when they play those, like, shitty-ass teams that you can kind of predict. Southampton definitely look like that kind
Newcastle.
Of team.
Honestly, I think Burnley are in there now. Like, maybe, they're on a steady decline. Yeah,
they have been, but, you know, it's going to just, as it usually is, but maybe even more pronounced this year, is, you know, got to hit cap. It's going to be the cap. Cap's going to be the big thing.
Yeah.
Nothing revolutionary there, but I think Rom's going to be a good hooker. Yeah. 11-5. I mean, he's just so love good. So good. Unlike Kane, who's I love to hate.
Yeah, I love to not own and get fucked by it. But as for Chelsea and Chalaba and whatnot, I mean, that was not their team, you know. Yeah. They have a frightening amount of good players and can only play 11 of them at a time.
Yeah.
FPL-wise, it might end up being that, like, Rom is the only pick. That wouldn't surprise me.
I'm sure there's going to be a defender or two that you'll be able to reliably pick.
Only attacker, I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would definitely... I mean, especially when Ziyech comes back. So yeah. Like, Kai... Werner's he was doing the same shit. It was just nothing's different there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think Rom definitely is going to be.
I mean, maybe Mount will be nailed. I feel like he has the best chance of the other attackers to be nailed and just find double digit assists or something like that.
Yeah, I could see that, sure.
But yeah, they're really good.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Okay.
Got some Everton questions as well. Just running through these. We got Wary Painter said, thoughts on Everton, mainly Dean, DCL, and Rich. They have a good fixture run after a decent performance, or was it just Southampton being bad? Hazza said, as a Dean owner, I didn't really like what I saw. Everton have wingers now. He seems to be overlapping less. What do you think of that 5-5 price defensive price point? And Villa Luke said, what can we take from the Everton assets in Game Week 1? Dean seemed the only real option going into Game Week 1. Have thoughts changed now? So, they did a good job.
I don't take a single thing from this game.
Why not?
Southampton are a fucking shock to me.
Yeah.
They're
so bad.
It's just kind of laughable. Watching...
That might be my best shout from, like, preseason, was me just looking at their squad and being like, what the fuck is this?
Like, Gineppo, I mean... The center backs and the goalkeeper are just Stevens. We know who Stevens is. I don't know what Benarek. I hope to fucking God he just was like not fit enough or not match fit to play, because I mean, if he actually thinks Jack Stevens better than him, we have problems. But Salisu, I think, might be really, 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 really bad. I just think he's not either not ready or he's just nowhere near good enough, because he does dumb fucking shit.
How about him on the Rich goal?
Yeah, like he just does dumb jump. Ass fucking shit.
Maybe head the ball away or something. I don't know. Yeah,
I like the Armstrong Che combo look like they have they can be working with some sauce, but in general, just defensively, this is just shocking. There's just it's shockingly shocking. Bad. It's just and he's you know, he's gonna do the 4-2-2-2-2 thing like forever until you know, for time of memoriam.
Yeah.
Until he gets fired.
Yeah, basically.
But it's worrying. I think that's my bigger takeaway.
Yeah.
Than anything.
Yeah. I agree with all of that. I mean, Vestergaard was so far and away their best center back.
Oh, my God.
And they just are like,
thanks for $10. Like, yeah, goodbye. Later.
Replacing Ings, they probably did good business they didn't reinvest the money anywhere, so they're just significantly worse. You know, I mean, they got Armstrong anywhere else on the team. Like they got like Livermento. They signed Perot. That's an improvement over Bertrand. But like, yeah, Gineppo and like Theo.
I mean, Stu didn't play. I think he wasn't fit or something.
Sure. I mean, he's Stu Armstrong. Like, he's fine. You know,
I think we'll see what the team looks like for them. Yeah, he shouldn't be starting for any team in 2021. I mean, we'll see what they look like next week, but this exact 11 and iteration of Southampton that played against Everton is as bad of a team as you'll see in the league all year. Yeah. So
Salisu is 21 and center backs, later curve, but like don't start him if he's not ready. That's really the bottom line.
And they did give him legitimate minutes at the end of last year when they were kind of in Garbaggio time, but he has some attributes. He's very like active and mobile, and he's kind of good at dueling and tackling and shit, but he's just like, he has rocks in his head, and he just makes some really boneheaded decisions, and he just seems really like naive. Like, I mean, like any 21-year-old would, and he just seems like he's someone that any opposing striker is just going to feast on to like see him playing. But holy shit, this kid doesn't know what he's doing.
And BCL did. And
Jack Stevens is, he can't move. He can't fucking move. Like, you turn Jack Stevens, you score a goal. It's just, he's ridiculous that he's even.
Yeah, they're in trouble. Yeah. They're in a bit of trouble. But,
did you see anything from the Everton players though? Like DC, I mean, I thought Rich definitely though.
Rich looked really good.
He looked really good.
I've always liked Rich more than you. Like, I just think Rich is just a great player in general. Yeah. He had a bad season last season, but I think he's just a great player. And DCL did the DCL thing. He just got many chances from like 5 yards out.
Yeah.
And if you get that many, he'll score goals. Maybe we underrated the fact that like he's just so dominant in the air and so active and so front foot. But I do agree with you that I think, you know, Southampton played their part in that because we know Townsend's a bad player. We know Gray's a bad player. Like, they shouldn't look like that ever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, we'll see what happens next week.
Dean is fine. Yeah. There's no part of that game where I'd be like, I didn't like what Dean was doing. Like, he was still integral and getting forward, and another day he probably gets an assist there.
No, I totally think Dean, you hold him. And Rafa's had one game. But
yeah. And Keane error was Southampton's only chance. All of their XG, like all of their everything was the Keane error.
I do really like Armstrong though. I'm interested. He was just very, his movement was great. Like, I mean, him and Che, the way they play, he does look like he's going to be able to pick up a lot of what Ings, you know, what they're losing from Ings at $6 million. I feel like he's definitely someone that's going to be a good enabler, you know, if we're going to have him, if we're going to need to find someone in that cheap bracket, $6 million.
On Friday of My Life, I said to you guys, I was like, he should not be $6 million. There's no reason.
He should have been 6'5", probably.
Minimum 6'5", but I don't even think 7's wrong, right? Because 6'5" is like you're a promoted striker on a promoted team who's expected to go down. So I'm like, 7 maybe. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, 6 is ridiculous for him. It really, really is. So that's definitely a good thing. Let's go to West Ham. Mukizi said, how do you feel about the West Ham defense going four at the back? Souf and Cresswell are still good picks, or should we look at other assets? And Poza said, should Ings owners do a straight swap to Antonio? We could just talk about Antonio and Benrahma and stuff, I guess. And
so what do you think?
Well, I think the first question actually about the four at the back will lead us into a lot of the talking points about the game and the players in general, because they were so bad defensively. They were absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, knowing Moyes and knowing what they did last season, that's not okay. Like, even though they won the game, I don't think Moyes is going to be happy. I do expect them to go back to three at the back, because that seems to be the only solution. They don't really have another midfielder that comes in and gives them like significantly more defensive work. They don't really have a winger that comes in and does that for them. You know, the back four is going to be their back four. So until they change to the back five, which I do expect eventually, I don't want to rely on clean sheets. That said, I still think Cresswell showed us why he's worth more than Soufal. And, you know, maybe he shouldn't get the goal there, but he just does everything. So the corner delivery is ridiculous. They're just on a dime, really on a head every single time. Yeah. And, you know, whether they get, you know, plus or minus 10 clean sheets or whatever, he's going to get a bunch of assists and attacker returns, yeah. And he's just really good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with where you're coming from. I don't know if they're going to go to three at the back, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like part of the reason of why their balance was so bad with Souček was, like, abdicating his job as in the two and just playing as a striker.
Yeah,
so they ended up playing like a 4-1 like five or something. Like I don't know what the fuck. But if he actually stayed home a little bit more and like stopped running into the box every 2 minutes,
yeah,
I think that would have helped a lot. You know, it felt very much like, you know, Fornals, Benrahma, Bowen, like Antonio, that they need time to play together more because they were changing positions like so much. Like when Antonio would kind of go wide or drop in, and you know, Benrahma would drop in, and you know, Fornals, I think the game kind of passed him by a little bit, and you know, Bowen, his final ball wasn't that good. It was just all very disjointed from West Ham, I thought, in general, and because of that, it was wide open. But I do believe that a two of Souček and Rice, like, could work.
I think it should work. Yeah.
Yeah, and in just both of their player qualities and attributes, you know, they should be able to do fine there. And if Fornals, you know, we know his work rate, you know, he can help out a little bit more. I don't know. There's something just like off, and I've been thinking about it, and I haven't really come up with any good answers.
Yeah, but I mean, second half they were way better, you know, in every way, defensively and attacking wise. So maybe there was some sort of adjustment there. It seemed like Antonio went wide, almost a two with Benrahma more towards the middle, and you know, so maybe they had a little more help in midfield there. But yeah, I mean, it worked so well last season when Cresswell's left center back. And with freedom to still do some attacking stuff and still take all the set pieces.
When they had Lingard, though.
Yeah, with Lingard. And
I don't know.
What's his name? Played a lot of minutes at left wing back, and they don't really have a replacement there. So, Masuaku.
Yeah, like, I think Benrahma is a really big issue. Like, I don't think he fits in the team, like, whatsoever if they're doing three at the back, because he wants to play in the half spaces and like pick the ball, but like he's not really getting into like doing defensive work, and you can't really like have that kind of player. But he's also not a target man. Like he's not very versatile in terms of that kind of thing. I'm just worried that
he could play in a two with Antonio, though.
I don't think he could. I don't think he offers enough hold up. I don't think he can interchange. Yeah,
I think
I don't
that's kind of what we saw second half. Honestly, like I think that's kind of what made them get better was like. Him.
I thought that was just because that was all Antonio doing that job. I felt like he was just playing striker, kind of like he was just making runs and taking defenders with him. But I didn't feel
part
like his
of so many like all of their attacking moves at some point I feel like went through him.
Yeah, but that's because they had 7,000 men in the final third when they had possession, and like he's just a guy there, you know, and that's fine. But it's out of possession. It's like my pictures in my head when we're talking about this is like when the ball's in the midfield and like they're trying to progress, or like what are they doing and what's their shape in that? Like not when they have the ball in the final third. It's like they're all up there and it's great.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm just like one because I was out of possession. Their shape was complete all over the place.
Yeah, Newcastle just running them to death. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, what do you think about Ings and Antonio, or just Antonio in general? I mean, we were kind of like, you were losing your mind. You were shitting, pissing, coming, throwing up. So
yeah, I mean, the pen was... I don't think there's a single thing in fantasy that I hate more than when my player misses a penalty. I think that's the worst. More than when I have a triple defense, white,
I'm gonna
clean
take
white.
It a step further and just think penalties are the worst part of fantasy in general.
I don't agree because I love the feel. Like I love closing my computer and my heart pounding and me like squatting and sweating and shaking when my guy's going to take the penalty.
But
like I love feeling that.
Only if he scores it.
Only if he scores it.
Yeah.
When he misses it.
What do you think about when the most owned forward in the game has zero shots in open play and gets a pen in the 96th minute?
I mean, Adam Messina. Come on down. He did the Josh The Benson. He did the Benson.
Yeah.
That's who I blame. Like, okay. What? It's 3-1. Why are you doing that? That
sticking was your entire
league two. That was non-league football challenge. That like was
league duh. It wasn't league two.
I mean, that's where I go there. I mean, you know, bad picks get points all the time.
Like, I know. Ings, I know.
You know, and but it's just that's
hurt,
the thing.
Though,
that,
it hurt.
No, that hurt obviously, but. Where did we start here? The penalty. Antonio fucking pissed me off so much that whole game. Holy shit. Like, I thought he'd be playing striker. He was not playing. Benrahma was playing striker.
Second half, yeah. Definitely.
Benrahma is playing out of position striker. Antonio's fucking doing that shit that he does that's so good in real life, but really bad, not really good in fantasy, of playing like wing, decoy, like running blind the channels, like pulling.
But in the end, you got the points, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he's just.
Is there countering at the end of the game and scores a goal, you know? So.
I mean, it's just the thing with him is he's just, his work rate is just out of control. And
when he's
fit, he's
not near a 7-5 player, is really the bottom line to me.
He's just an actual beast. It doesn't really matter that much where he plays because he's just so involved. And he also has learned how to, like Bruno, we were talking about. He's like, he's kind of like, he anticipates really well. He gets into good spots. And I mean, he definitely looks like he's going to be continuing to get points. But I was ready to fucking transfer him out at halftime. Let's not make any mistakes about that, because I wanted to kill myself when Callum scored. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, yeah, I know. That was the. That moment was like, why don't we have Callum? Why don't we have Ings? Like, why is the world the worst thing ever? And then Benrahma and Antonio got a lot of points.
I mean, Ings was obviously, the result was very frustrating, but, you know, we were 1,000,000% spot on with Villa, you know, Villa taking, needing time. And, you know, Watkins was out and they got absolutely destroyed by Watford.
Destroyed.
And it wasn't close. And you know, Ings getting bailed out, you know, bad pick, getting points. You hate to see that, obviously.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was a nice pen. And again, honestly, you know, I had Bachman. They already conceded. I'm glad that they got a pen because, you know, I take that all day.
Yeah. As a Bachman owner, you want
that. I want the pen.
Yeah. That's true.
But yeah.
Yeah. West Ham. We also got a bunch of Spurs questions. Two from Do It here. He said, Ali, maybe not as much of an option as previously thought. Seemed to be playing deeper in the 4-3-2-1 rather than further up with Bergwijn and Lucas. And also, he said, if Spurs don't replace Kane, Son probably stays up top and is just a great pick at his price, right? And then Ryan said, Ryan Good, new member, new Patreon subscriber, Ryan Good, said, what did you think of Spurs' performance against a not full-strength City? Does transferring Son out for someone like Pogba seem more realistic? Which I don't know what he means by realistic. If Kane does leave, or does he look like a definite replacement for Espirito Santo and worth keeping him? I think that's like a Google Translate question right there. But
yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
Well, I'll just take...
Before you answer this, let me give you... I know you don't know this.
Okay.
Spurs have a game on Thursday in Portugal for the conference championship Europa Fuckfest League.
Actual? Like
in 3 days. Yeah, they have a game in 3 days for the thing. And they have another one next Thursday. So carry on with your answer.
I love that you 100% knew and you're 100% right that I did not know about that. Because I just assumed it went with the other European schedules, which like don't.
Yeah.
Okay. That's terrible for them. I was just going to say, I mean, I thought Spurs played well. I mean, I think they, you know, City were better. No question in my mind there, but they missed all their chances, so get fucked. And Spurs countered really well. They had a clear plan. Well, I remember talking about this, I think it must have been the premium pod, but Nuno has previous with, a goal-scoring winger and a striker. You know, with like a Jota and Jim. You know, and Son is just fucking world class and he does his thing. And they gave him too much space and they're playing Nathan Ake and like they were pretty bad. And Jack doesn't defend and they just played through that side over and over again. I think you can be very confident and feel really good with Son. And I think the people that picked him, you know, deserve credit because a lot of people didn't even consider Spurs with City in game week one, which is a thing we talked about. And the season is longer than game week one, and their fixtures are now Wolves, Watford, Palace. and everyone wants him, and he's a great pick. Yeah, whether he stays up top or if Kane stays and he doesn't stay up top, I think he's still a good pick. But Ollie, well, the other thing I was going to say is Ollie, I disagree with that. I think that is just playing Man City. Like, that's just what happens when you play against Man City. You get smothered.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bergwijn and Lucas, you know, that there's no, that doesn't work against every team except for, like, you know, Liverpool and Man City. Like, playing Lucas, playing three counter-attackers who don't know how to complete passes or just want to, you know, dribble and take the world on. I was thinking about this, though. Skip, dude. If Mourinho would still be there, if they had Skip, how the fuck did he not keep Skip last year?
You'd think he'd love Skip, but...
I mean, it's insane. Like, if he had Skip and Hoge last year...
Yeah,
Skip is unreal. He's so good.
He didn't have to start Dembele and Ndombele ever and shit. Yeah. I feel like it's a size thing.
Yeah, to maybe. To be honest.
Like, he wants
shithousers.
He likes a fucking unit.
Yeah.
And he probably just looked at like 5'7" Skip and was just like, well, this guy's not a DM.
Yeah. Skip's real, dude. He's real.
Yeah. He's useful. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm sure Ollie's going to be, you know, kind of Jack of all trades, kind of Jack Sparrow of all trades, going up there and playing more, you know, more striker positions when, you know, the personnel changes. I mean, it does seem like Kane's going to stay, honestly, at this point. And, you know, when that happens and, you know, he rejiggers the players around a little bit. I feel like Ollie could still be a thing at 6'5".
Yeah,
I still think he's
going to be good. Yeah. In terms of Bergwijn's the rest still of the not team. Good enough. Yeah, I still don't feel like I know who's going to start at center back. I don't know who their right back is. Regs and Lloris are the only ones that I know are going to start. And
It was really upsetting to me to watch how, what was it, Taylor officiating the bald fuck, right? Yeah, Anthony Taylor, how he was reffing that Tanganga situation. I mean,
he should have had a yellow card on like the 10th minute.
Yeah, it was really, it was just really like... irresponsible because he obviously wanted to have them finish 11-on-11 or whatever. Like, he didn't want to like make a story that.
Yeah,
like,
but the big game or whatever.
The player was not playing defense, like footballing defense. He was not doing that for any minutes. He was just beating the shit out of Raz.
Yeah,
yeah. He was beating the shit out of whoever, Jack or Raz, whoever was coming near him. He was just kicking them or throwing them to the ground.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could talk about Naus and, you know, okay, he was reading this situation that he could get away with it, so he just kept doing it. He didn't even get a yellow card the whole game. Did not get a yellow card in the game.
Insane.
That was really upsetting to me, because if you put him on a yellow after 15 minutes, you know, we might be having a different conversation today.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good. One thing that I didn't really look at like the stats or anything to back this up, but I felt like Spurs were way too easily playing through Jack's side. Like, all of their buildup was, you know, a little Tanganga, Hoge, Skip just going wide right, and there was just infinity space. And Thunshot was talking about it in Discord. Like, Raz was deeper than Jack
for a lot of the
whenever
time.
Spurs were attacking, because Jack wasn't tracking back and Raz was doing that work for him. And I was just like, Pep's not going to be happy about that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, he's going to have to work out the balance a little bit more and realize who's going to have to play where and who's going to have to cover for whom. I think that all of those things are a little bit. I don't see it the same way. I think that Mendy was the biggest problem. I think Mendy had...
And Ake.
Ake did what Ake usually does. I mean, you know, they play the high line and he's just not in a good position because none of them are, because they're playing a high line. But Mendy had so many times where he was, you know, overlapping or playing a risky pass when he's in a position where he cannot give the ball up. And then, like, it felt like it happened, you know, over and over and over again. He's not good enough. You know, it's really unfortunate that his decline.
A sad career. Yeah, very sad.
Yeah, it's
sad
really
career,
sad. I mean, honestly. His decline has been so rapid, but he's just so fucking nowhere remotely close to near the level for that position of what he's asking of him. And I mean, Zinchenko can't get 90 minute legs in him fast enough. Like, they need to fucking never play Mendy in a league game.
Yeah.
Unless if they're playing, like, you know, Watford or something again. I think that was more the issue for me than anything else.
Yeah. We'll see with City. There was just, you know, they have so many guys coming back and we don't really know, but it, you know, they'll obviously be fine. But yeah, Spurs, good job by them.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a good performance.
The games were like all good.
Yeah.
Like, all the televised games were fun. There were no draws, which is insane.
Yeah, no draw. I love no draw, dude. Love that. No draws is great.
Amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Your team. How about your team?
Easy. You know game. What? You know what's 3-0? Really funny is we got actually zero questions about Liverpool.
There's nothing because it was a walk in the park.
Automatic. Yeah. Everyone who's good was still good and returned points except Mane, and they're just really good. It was amazing. Had
you that? I mean, I fell for you with the Mane blank. You roll. I mean, you go again.
Sort of defined my week. Yeah, of course you go again. I mean, I thought he looked good and lively and everything that I was hoping was basically there, except for, you know, the ball didn't go in the net or one of his passes wasn't an assist or whatever. So, you know, it's definitely reminded me of last season where Mane blanks, and then maybe this week, which is another, in my opinion, banker with home Burnley. Yeah, maybe this is the game he pops off or something. But
the goal on assist game or something.
Yeah, like, is he worth 8 million more than Tsimikas? Not right now. Is he worth 4.5 million more than Jota? Not right now, but we'll see in 3-4 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Longer than that, maybe he will be. So,
yeah.
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah, there were a bunch of 4-0 defenders and stuff. So Side said, defense seems to be the most interesting prospect in terms of the shift from the template game week one. Talk to us about the prospects of the 4-0 guys and the other new starters and the good defenses, Chalaba, Vesti, et cetera, Varane. And then Santi said, who's your favorite 4-0, if any, other than Sim? Or C. He wrote C. It can't be C. That's just like two. It's got to be Sim. Sim.
Shimkas.
You said Chimcast, but I'm saying nickname. I think like Sim is good.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I mean, we had, I think, like 5-4 or 6-4-0 defenders play this week.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
is it's that really, many?
Yeah, it was a lot because Amardi played too. So we had Amardi, we had Livermento, we have Hoover.
There's Duffy, Amardi, Livermento, and Hoover.
Shimcast.
And Chim, sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, Amardi, we don't have to talk about it. He's the worst of them by so many miles.
And he's out the team already.
Yeah. Livermento, I don't expect him to play against Man United. I think that he's going to put KWP, unless if he plays him in midfield, which is possible. But I think KWP will probably play this game. I feel like that one's going to be like a horses for courses, unless if he just backs him and he's just trusting him. I wouldn't like transfer him in, though, at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like I have no read on that, really.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, why isn't KWPN? Yeah. That's weird. So
yeah, and I mean Hoover. I mean, I have Hoover. I started with him.
Hoover good.
Yeah, he was
Hoover good. Hoover good.
he played well. I think I saw like Semedo had like he wasn't fit or something. Like he got it was like in isolation or something, and then he like didn't have enough training. Okay. So I don't know if it was that he's just preferred to Semedo, but he's a good player, and you know it's not unreasonable if they are playing a back three. I don't know. He plays both. I don't know. He's a good player, and Semedo is not a good player. There's going to be I think they're going to be challenging each other for the spot.
Yeah. You know? In terms of all of the rest of the guys not named Tsimikas, he seems like the one with the highest upside, the most versatility, and the best chance to actually play significant minutes.
Yeah, which is because of all those reasons why I picked. I didn't expect him to start, but that's why I picked him. And yeah, I mean, at 4-0, he's obviously has something about him. And again, I just think he's a quality player. I think he was playing fucking wingback. If there's a 4-0 wingback, I mean, it doesn't matter what team you play for. That's going to be a good pick.
He was like a highly thought of prospect at Liverpool. And, you know, as part of the Jota deal, a big part of it was like getting him. So,
but then it's just so frustrating because they just spend all this money on Semedo and he's fucking horrible. But like, do they have to justify the fee and play? Like, I don't know what he's going to do there. But
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we'll Hoover's good. Hoover's a good one though.
Yeah,
and then Duffy just seems like he's on borrowed time. I mean, when Veltman's back, it's just they have and Dan Byrne gets back. He's just going to be you know he's just going to be like the bench guy probably.
Yeah, I think so too. So
they just need a lot of guys because they play a lot of center backs up there in Brighton. Yeah. So that's I think.
Man, Brighton were just getting shit on all those set pieces and stuff.
Yeah,
that was concerning.
Yeah, maybe Bob Sanchez. You know,
my guy.
He didn't play well.
No, he didn't. 2 saves, almost got that third point. Someone in Discord was like, "Got third save point." I was like, "Nice, nice, nice, let's go." And then they lied. Any other specific teams you want to talk about, or should I just run through these additional questions? Well,
I think the one, I'm just like looking through the slate, and the one thing we didn't mention at all, which is, you know, kind of bad job by us, we're on almost on like 50 minutes. Bumo, I think, is like the biggest
first game
winner
of the season.
Yeah, I think, I mean, because it was a Friday, like felt like it, that was a year ago, but
yeah.
I think to me, watching the games this weekend, he was like, from an FPL standpoint, like the biggest gainer in my mind. I mean, we talked about him a little bit on the budget pod, but he's playing out of position. He's playing striker.
Yeah.
Just period. He's just striker.
Ahead of Tony.
Yeah, by a lot. And I don't know if that's just because they were doing Arsenal, but it seems like that's going to be the way they play. He didn't do the thing in the box.
Yeah,
like
his finishing was bad.
Yeah, it was really bad. And, you know, that might be something that you're just going to have to stomach. You know, we've seen plenty of players like that, but he's playing out of position. You know, he's 5'5". You know, you're watching them play with a 35% possession, you know, and he's still getting these huge chances against Arsenal. Yeah. I mean, they're going to be able, they should be able to do that against any team, you know, if that's the way that they're going to play and invite the pressure. And they hit really well, you know.
And Tony's passing is really,
it was ridiculous.
Really
it's like,
good.
He's like Jim, kind of, honestly, a little bit.
Yeah, and Billy was talking about that on the Anfield Rap Pod today, and I looked back to see, and yet there were plenty of games last season, even when Tony scored 5,000 goals, where he had like one shot, because he had zero shots against Arsenal. But there were games last season he had one shot, but two assists. Yeah. Like he's just so good at coming in, coming to the ball, flicking it on, like
winning everything.
Yeah. I thought Brentford pretty impressive, pretty good.
Umo.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got braces in him. He's going to be, stays fit this year, I mean, he should hit, you know, 13 or so goals, you know, based
that
on that performance
in
that position. Yeah, I mean, forget about it. So he seems like someone that is definitely a good pick. Like, I'm definitely looking at my team like, how can I get him in? Yeah. Like, am I going to change formation or what? But like, of everything today, I mean, Benrahma maybe like a little bit of second place there because he was also playing out of position.
Yeah.
Just still concerned about his security of start in the medium term. But Bumo, to me, is the player that I saw this weekend that I was like, I want to get him in my team of everyone. Like, by a lot.
He was really good. Yeah. I thought Dennis, too, was actually.
Yeah, but then he got hurt.
Oh, he did get hurt? I didn't
see that. Yeah, I think he came off, knocked, and then Cutro came on and scored with his first touch, a fucking blammer.
I saw that. That was a fucking world. Yeah, but Dennis is also like, he's 5-0.
Yeah, he was good.
5-0 forward, getting five shots and a goal.
Yeah. No, yeah, he was really good. I mean, Sar was good. Watford were good, and they played all those fucking...
so awesome.
Etebo or whatever, and Kuka. Like, I mean, they just slotted in there, and I mean, clever Tommy C was just doing all the Tom C things. They just destroyed Villa. It was amazing. Yeah. Fucking fuck Villa.
Derek is weeping.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Questions here. So do it again. He said, did today's game give you any insights on City assets? Anybody you want specifically for next week versus Norwich? Mars and Kev, in quotes, nailed since they didn't play the full 90s, ... We need to, and then let me just interrupt because Jeff's next question.
Interrupt, I didn't say it.
Well, but you were about to. And Jeff's next question is, like, can you remind new listeners and Discorders what nailed means? Because there's so many of these questions with like, is Mars and Kev nailed, ? Like, nailed is Mo and Bruno. Like, nailed is Sar and Zaha and...
like, me.
Me and you on this pod.
No, I meant Ben me.
Oh, I thought me. No. Me and you.
No. That was bad.
Yeah, like, fucking actually nailed. If you have to ask if a player's nailed or not, they're not nailed.
They're not.
Everyone who's nailed, we all know, is just not even a fucking question. That's nailed.
Okay. So, City players, though, I mean...
not nailed.
No one's nailed.
None.
Ederson is nailed.
Yeah, Ederson.
I mean, Jack definitely was interesting. I mean, he was doing things, but you know, when they're not flowing and Spurs gave them a tough game, I mean, he wasn't like creating chances that much, you know. I mean, they didn't really, like, I don't know, it was
they
just
had
very
two monster chances. Yeah. And both of them weren't even on target.
Yeah, I mean, they play Norwich, which is you know, you see how Norwich played against Liverpool. I mean, they do that against City. It should be the same thing. Where I'm expecting Kevin to come back in. I mean, so he's been out for a long time, long enough, right? He's ready for 90.
Out for a while.
Yeah, for a while, ready for 90. So I mean, I'm sure like Bill's gonna come in, Rodrigo's gonna come in. So, you know, probably give Dino a break, and we'll see.
Gundo might be hurt, which is actually significant because that might mean Jack/Kev like more of a chance to get in there.
Yeah,
if he's actually hurt, but you can't
be looking at the City like player page in the FPL and saying like I'm gonna transfer someone in right now, really.
And I wouldn't captain any of them, even if I already owned them, because they might not start.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
I agree.
Yeah. You just hold your Jacks and your Marezes if you own them. And even Torres, probably, you just hold and just pray they fucking start. And if they do start, there's a really good chance they get points.
Yeah, I mean, I still like want to, you know, just hold Jack for a while, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know. I mean, if he just gets me like an assist against Norwich and looks, you know, and plays, I'll be like, all right, I can calm down a little bit. But, you know, when I'm looking around at my team and I'm thinking about, you know, what buttons am I going to click? He's, you know, on my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a target on his back.
What do you think, though? Do you think that, am I being, you know how I am with Jack, though? I'm a little bit nuts about Jack. Do you think he looked fine from a fantasy perspective? Like he's going to just get points by running into them?
Not really.
Yeah, like he could just be a peripheral, like, progressor and getting fouled and just not getting points.
Yeah, that's kind of how it felt to me, because he was playing, like, eight. He wasn't playing.
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't really in the box that much, you know.
He had, like, one good shot.
He would, like, get in the box, but it wasn't like, leading to chances. He was just on the ball and then recycling it or whatever. And
he was offering a lot, though. Like, when there were overlaps, like, he was getting...
Player.
But he was getting into like central, like good positions when the ball was like on the right or when it would break down. Like I did notice him in and around, like more in like goal scoring positions than I remember when he was with Villa. But
yeah, there was one thing that Double Pivot said like on that exactly, which is like Villa, you never see that stuff because he was never not on the ball.
Right.
When Gundo, his breakout last season was all off ball.
Right.
It was never like dribbling in and scoring. It was just he just showed up 6 yard box goal.
Yeah.
We don't know and we haven't seen Jack actually do that ever. Even for England, he comes on, he just has the ball the whole time.
Yeah.
So that's like a TBD sort of like if he can like develop that or has that in him already or Pep can teach him that. He's going to fucking dong.
Like, yeah, because I thought he. Because I was basically watching him,
you were man marking him with your eyes.
Yeah, I thought he did that like many times, and I was like very encouraged by that. So I was like, okay, well, he's in the box, he's trying to, you know, peel off the defenders when the other guy's coming in with dribbling to just be available as an option. And I don't know, I do kind of just. I just like believe in his quality more than anything. Like I've been saying, I mean, that's why I start with him is just that I feel like he's just gonna, I don't know, but it would have been obviously.
If he was doing that shit, then you know, he'll probably get there.
I mean, he's also only, I mean, he's eight, you know, it's still not that much.
No,
you
it's
know,
not eight, that much.
Eight's really not that much.
It's just, you know, obviously game week one, like the knee jerkiness is at an all time high and you see
course.
Like, you know, everyone's bringing Paul and fucking Benrahma and shit. And
it's
tempting.
Yeah. Okay.
Mishka said, what's your take on Palace and Zaha for the upcoming game weeks?
Yeah.
That was a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was really encouraged by the performance because I think, like, what Vieira was trying to have us do, like, I see how we could grow into it. You know, we were trying to keep the ball on the floor. We were trying to build possession and pass out from the back, and we were trying to win the ball up high and play on the front foot. The 11 that we were playing was just shocking.
Yeah.
And Mateta is like,
last start he's going to get for a while.
Like he showed why Roy never picked him. He was so out of his depths. Like we were playing with 10 men. And I mean, I hate to kill the kid. I mean, he's a child and he's, you know, going to go back to Mainz next year, but he was a big problem because we needed him to come in and drop in more and help and win a battle. And he just couldn't, he couldn't keep the ball. And IU was so bad, like being asked to do what he was, he doesn't fit. Like, he's going to really, really struggle this season, I think, under Vieira, because the position that he's asking over there is more, you know, being able to pass, and he just can't do that. He just wants to dribble and receive the ball to feet and shoot or something, like, in the final third. He's just like, I don't know. So
you think it's a 4-4-2 basically, right? It was like IU right wing.
We switched after, like, Wilf was playing on the right for a while.
Okay.
And then we switched at one point to, like, more of a three, and IU was just, IU was playing like where Townsend used to play.
Yeah.
And he just, like, couldn't do anything. He was helpless. And Riedewald, just the game completely passed him by. He didn't do anything. And Macca was trying to do the job of, like, four men. And Schlupp was very bad. So we had a lot of, and Wilf was also bad. We had a lot of, like, bad individual performers. Bad. No, it was bad. Like, Macca was good. You know, Wilf struggled. But once we put on Anderson and we moved Kouyaté into midfield and we put Benteke on, we were like, okay, like, this is the thing, you know. Gehi is an unbelievable player. He's going to be unreal. And Anderson is so good with the ball. Like, they were both immediately
supposedly really, really good with the ball.
Yeah, like, the thing that they both have is every single diag in their locker, and they would dribble the ball out and give us space and give us, like, off Guaita just so easily, and just take players out of the game with their just first pass to midfield.
Yeah.
And once we figure that, I mean, obviously we need, like, Elise. We need, IU can't play. We need to get, our personnel is an issue, obviously.
He said after the game, in the post-match, Vieira was like, yeah, we're still in the transfer market. I need to bring in more players.
Yeah, and we're short.
So,
but I mean, I think that was all very good. And it was very nice to see Macca back. I mean, running around. And, you know, Ward's a problem. I think Klein needs to play. Ward can't pass. He just can't pass. Like, he doesn't know how to pass and offer. And he's so nervous on the ball because he's like that. He's still that, like, step slow, and it's just a big issue. Like, he just wants to hoof it, and we're not doing that anymore. Right. And he's just a nightmare waiting to happen. I think Klein is a much better ball player than him. I think Klein would definitely be able to fit in here. Klein's issue is he just doesn't have the motor. Like, Ward has the motor. He can run up and down the fucking flank for, you know, 500 minutes, not fast, but, you know, he'll play defense. Yeah. But Klein, like, can't get back, and I don't know. I think Klein will be better over there. So, I mean, you know, we'll see once the personnel changes. And I think, you know, Rakszaki, I mean, you can't play. You tell me that Ayu's going to be giving us a better performance than him. He's like, he's a kid that he was playing with our under-23s last
really
year.
Good.
Yeah, we got him from Chelsea's. He was with Chelsea's academy, and he was, like, one of our best academy players last year. He's, like, young. He's very lively. He's just, like, a very active player, and maybe he might get more opportunities while we have Elise and Eze both out. You know, I mean, we need that winger that can do a little bit more and offer a little bit more. So I don't know. I'm still hopeful. Like, I think that we're going to be
Chelsea's
fine.
Chelsea's also ridiculous. At Stamford Bridge, game week one, it's like,
you should get Chelsea.
Yeah. So,
Brentford's going to be, you know, hopefully we have like four, we make like four changes from last. Guaita was also one of the worst games I've ever seen. Guaita
Elise is hurt. Is he hurt?
Yeah. He has a back injury. He's been hurt. He was hurt when we bought him.
Yeah.
He hasn't, like, trained once. That sucks. Maybe he could be Nathan Ferguson. I don't know.
Yeah, because that was, like, when you guys bought him, I was like, cool. He's right wing. Like, that's exciting and good. Yeah. But,
I mean, hopefully he's back soon. But we'll see. I mean, Brentford's going to be an interesting game because they're going to give us the ball, so we're going to be able to do the things more. So we'll see if, you know, how it looks.
It should be a way different game.
I mean, Anderson's going to be playing. You know, Kouyaté is going to be, I don't know what he's going to do in the midfield. Benteke is going to play, obviously. So it should be a lot better. I'm expecting a win against Brentford.
Wow.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yep.
I just feel like I fireside chatted or something right there. That was a good job by you on the Palaces.
Yeah, man. Palace. I've been thinking about Palace so much.
Have you thought about FML? CPL? It's our new Palace pod.
Stop.
Dance. Jay Bird said, is there any question where the answer has dramatically changed from pre to post game week one?
Are there any answers?
Any questions? That were
any questions?
Yeah.
Dramatically changed? I don't know. Well, like, what would an example be?
I have no idea.
Like, Ben White's good? He's not? I don't know.
Pinnock, best center back in the league.
Pinnock's good. What do you think about Brentford with the Pinnock? Defense? Just, I don't know. That game was such a mess. Arsenal's team was such a mess.
My brother smartly picked Raya as his keeper, so he's off to a good start.
Yeah, well, that was an obvious pick.
Good job by my brother there.
No, I don't really think that anything like that.
If there were a good answer to this, I hope that we're just covering it by just talking about Chip, because it's too hard to think on the spot of something like that.
I'm sure there are at least a few things, but I don't know, man. That's too tough.
SK said, which teams looked fit and ready, which teams looked sluggish?
Yeah. Well, Norwich, you know.
The COVIDs.
The COVIDs.
Were not kind to them.
No, not kind to them at all.
Huffing and puffing, dude. Yeah. They were fucking cooked.
Yeah. So that's a thing.
They were goosed. Honestly, Villa.
I thought they looked very, very bad.
Just looked like their defense was so. Like the defensive players are good, and Emmy was so good last year, but they still did concede a lot of shots and stuff, and Emmy was just so good that that's why he got 100 million points. But they were just like all fucking over the place.
Do you know what really I was thinking about? Buendia? Like, a week before fucking game week one, he was in like 27% of teams or something.
Yeah.
And then he got flagged and everyone got rid of him.
5.4% now. That's so annoying.
He was on Norwich again. He just had no impact on he just didn't do anything. Like,
that's so annoying.
I hate that. We were talking about how like bad of a pick we thought that was. And no one has him now.
And everyone would have had him, and I would have been the only one on Benrahma.
Yeah. Fucking such annoying
Bailey
shit.
Looked good when he came on. Yeah, so definitely. That's cool.
Yeah, that could be a good like pressure release valve kind of player. Yeah. No, he was exciting.
I'm trying to think who else. Like,
the balance. I mean, they need fucking Doug Luiz back so fast.
Nakamba's horrific.
Nakamba's, he's not good enough. He's just not. He's not good enough. He should be in the championship or something. He needs to go. He just shouldn't be playing. Ramsey was good when he came on.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
Yeah,
who else was sluggish? I mean, I don't know. Burnley, dude. They suck.
Yeah, Burnley, they didn't play well. Were they doing the high line thing again? I didn't watch it live.
I just watched the highlights, but it seemed like
couldn't tell.
Outside of set piece opportunities or like a long ball, they just had no ideas, and Brighton just completely dominated them. And then came back and won the game. So good job.
I think the Watford performance was probably the like most surprising to me because their preseason they were playing trialists. Like every time I saw a team sheet, it was like five human names and then six trialists.
And they didn't attack in the championship. They were like a mediocre attack, and then they come out and just like, I'm assisted by Matt Target and Nakamba and whatnot. They just come out and like blow the doors down. Watford.
They're
Hornets
really good.
Are buzzing.
Yeah, they should easily stay up.
Almost every home team won.
Yeah,
I think every home team won except Norwich, Burnley.
Yeah.
And is that it?
Newcastle as well.
And Newcastle, that's it.
We might get lucky with Burnley going back down this year.
This might be the year.
Yeah, which would be wonderful.
That would be terrific.
They've long outstayed their welcome.
That would be a win for football.
It would be just one. It'd be ecstatic to not have them in the division. Oh. I mean, it was like watching like Norwich. I mean, they were gas, but I think they could stay up.
They do stuff.
They looked okay, you know. I mean,
they
had
terrible.
Good.
They really
they
weren't.
Had, yeah, I mean, they were playing Liverpool, but they had like good spacing. They were moving the ball well. They were playing well together. Like the system, everyone seemed like they knew where they were supposed to be, what they were supposed to be going. They could stay up.
Yeah. One thing I forgot to mention really bad. That I just saw in my notes is also with Everton. If Holgate starts, if he's their starting center back, if that's who he likes,
no, he's not. It's going to be Godfrey.
If that's who he likes, then he's going to be the best 4-5 in the game, maybe.
I agree with you. If there's a 4-5 Rafa defender at Everton, then yes, I agree. Ridiculous. That would be the best 4-5.
That was just one guy on my watch list.
But Godfrey wasn't available, so
yeah,
I just don't imagine how that could happen.
Well, there's going to be a PowerPoint presentation, so
Yeah.
Two more questions. Ryan said, is there any player team manager which after 90 minutes we can already say we were just wrong about in preseason? Who should we be thinking about differently than we were a week ago?
Well, Watford, you know, I think just touching on Watford. Yep. I mean, they're going to be a tough game for everybody because they, you know, they defend pretty well and they just hit so fast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think good teams, bad teams are just going to have a difficult time against them. And they have a lot of different personnel. I mean, I imagine just looking at their squad that they're going to be able to, you know, kind of pose different problems depending on who they're playing. They have so many different, like he can change the team very, you know, based on just a few personnel changes, you know, that could just be very different than what they were doing the week before. So I think, you know, I kind of looked at Watford. I was like, oh, like maybe they'll stay up. Like they kind of have a bunch of shitty players, but I mean, get Messina. Hopefully Messina's out. I don't know. I mean, Rose, fucking put Rose in. The Kiko Femenia wasn't even there. You know, I mean, so those are also like first teamers that weren't there. And
Sierra Alta. Yeah.
Yeah. Sierra Alta didn't play. Cathcart was playing like, and they still fucked Villa like, badly. So I think that's one. For me.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about everything already, but West Ham also, just like...
Yeah, all out attack, unless proven otherwise.
Yeah, so that's
Saint weird. St. Max, you know, we didn't talk about him. He was unplayable.
Fucking love him.
Yeah.
Like, I watched Leicester Wolves, and, like, you know, Adama, similarly to St. Max, can just beat anyone at will. But he's so not fun for me to watch anymore.
Well, he's not a footballer.
I'm just so sick of watching him because you know what's going to happen at the end of the move, no matter how
shot off
good it is. Yeah. Whereas St. Max has like actual fucking quality and the ability to beat anyone at will. It's just like so nice. Yeah, I mean, we kind of just disparaged any idea of him being an FPL player at 6'5 because he switched to forward. I don't know, man. If Newcastle play like that attacking and he can get some goals and is their main assist provider, like, I don't know. It's not impossible.
No, I agree. I think that could happen.
Yeah.
He needs to stay fit.
I mean, Richie assist.
Well, nailed. Great pick, great player.
Yeah, that's it for questions. I feel like there's so much more shit to talk about, but also we have to move on.
We have to move on.
So let's go to our teams, transfers, whatnot.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
I'm saving.
Yeah.
For sure. Too. Yeah. I mean, the only flag in my team is Velt. Really hope he plays because even though it's Watford and they were good, it's still a great fixture and I really want him. My alternative is like Gilmore at City or White home Chelsea. So. Really would prefer Veltman there, but otherwise the team is just good to go. You're saving too?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna save too. I'm feeling good about my team and yeah, it'll be nice to have two frees and, you know, reassess after another game.
Yeah. I was thinking also two frees, especially in the early season, like because a 0.1 difference we have
no 0.5.
Yeah, it's like 0.5 difference. You can't really get up to anyone without a double move. So two frees feel even better early, I think.
Yeah. But I definitely want Bumo. Like, that's my number one, like, priority.
He's your number one target?
Yeah, is trying to figure out, like, what sacrifice I'm going to make to which attacker I'm going to sacrifice to put him in.
I don't really have anyone like that right now, I don't think.
Yeah. Okay.
And then captain, dude.
Yeah.
There's
I'm on Bruno.
So I was on Bruno. And then Liam and some others were like, yeah, but like home, Mo. We saw every home team like dong for fun and most of the home teams win and all that stuff. And they talked me into Mo. But I think both are just incredible picks and it's basically a coin
flip. Yeah,
are you going to make the case like more strongly for Bruno?
I'm not like impassioned about it, but I think, you know, we've been playing FPL long enough to know, even though obviously Anfield's going to be out of fucking control.
That's the thing.
We know what happens usually when we captain against Burnley. It usually doesn't go that well. I mean, they are still a competent. They've been worse recently.
We destroy Burnley, dude.
Yeah, no, you usually do destroy Burnley.
It's like 3-0 every time.
Yeah. You know? No, I mean, that's true, but I guess I do have some, like, inherent, like, Burnley, like, yeah. I'm not sure.
I mean, it's not going to be, like, easy. Yeah. But, like, you're going to get kicked and fouled and, like, yeah. all the waste time and all that shit, but, like, still should be, like, a 3-0.
Yeah, it should be a comfortable victory, but, Southampton. I mean, Southampton are just... I think that I'm more, like, banking on Southampton are in... big trouble.
Yeah. They might just like go down. They're trash.
And Manchester United were actually like irresistible.
Yeah.
And I just feel like Southampton, I mean, granted that's in a way, you know, it's going to be in St. Mary's, but
yeah,
you know, okay. You put Stu back in, you know, maybe KWP plays instead of like a 12-year-old, maybe he puts Bednarik in instead of Stevens or whatever. Or I mean, yeah. I don't really care. Maybe he puts Forster in. It just screams to me of like, oh, their two best players on the pitch are like the strikers who like
JWP
are not gonna have the ball.
And Armstrong. Yeah,
JWP is just gonna be like chasing shadows. I think that has a better chance of just being like an actual hiding than Burnley, I feel like. So, and not to mention Bruno just, you know, hat trick, like actual hat trick in open play, and yeah. was playing out of control. So, I mean, Mo was out of control as well.
I mean, they got 9-0'd last season.
Yeah. I just feel like Southampton's the kind of like heads could drop and it could be like, oh, yeah, yikes.
That's the allure of Southampton is yeah. right there to me.
Well,
because
when Burnley goes down,
they also try and win, like rightfully so, points wise, but bad for fantasy. Like, try and get the game back, you know, like try and get a goal yeah. back, try and equalize, get a point. But Southampton, dude, there's something in their like DNA when they're getting fucked, it's just
they,
all
they
over.
Get more. It reminds me yeah. a lot of when you captained Timo last year, early yeah. doors against Southampton, which felt very similar.
I love captaining against Southampton.
Yeah, no, I know you did. I felt similar. Previous.
I captained Jack against them too.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
a massive haul,
and he scored like 17 or something.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah,
you're
just
talking me back into
like,
Bruno.
Yeah, it just feels, and I do think Mo is like the chalk pick. I think, you know, home Burnley, like their home, like that's where most
they're
people are going to go.
Great
but
picks.
They're both great picks. I just feel like
yeah,
Bruno's,
you're talking me into Southampton. That was where my initial read was just like yeah. South fucking Hampton, dude.
Yeah,
like,
after watching Southampton, I was like, holy shit.
Salisu.
Yeah.
Bruno making the same exact runs that he made against Leeds with Salisu trying to cover.
Yeah, and I mean, Burnley, don't forget, their best player is their goalkeeper.
Yeah,
you know?
Pope. Yeah,
Southampton.
He could just stand on his head. Yeah,
yeah.
Just
Southampton don't have a goalkeeper, so I don't know, man. I just feel like that's where I'm gonna go.
You made a great case.
That's where I'm gonna go this week. I'm not like a 1,000,000% like confident about it. When I looked at the fixtures before the game started, before Liverpool and Manchester United played, I was like, oh, probably Captain Mo because it's like home Burnley.
Yeah.
But then when the things happened, I was like, nah.
Southampton are a fucking mess.
Yeah, they're a mess.
That's the theme of the pod this week.
Yeah, they're bad. They're very bad.
Moving on. Is there anyone else, I guess, before we move on?
Well, I mean, I guess...
City of Norwich,
yeah,
but
I mean,
such
you
a
could.
Ridiculous punt.
Yeah, you could, but it does feel like a ridiculous punt.
And there's really no one else that I would consider capping.
I mean, you could do like Mane, you know, if you just want to...
Yeah, sorry. Other Liverpool or United players, you know.
Yeah, you could do
Greenwood, Paul, Trent, Mane, Jota, but there's risk involved.
Trent's actually interesting.
Yeah,
Clean feels really sturdy.
Very, very good. Yeah, even though Wood's back, I didn't.
I didn't think he would play. But yeah, he played. Yeah.
So moving on, you know, beginning of the season, dude. X hope is high. X belief is high. The grind, the ultimate darkness of FPL has not set in yet. For that reason, we have an absolute fuck ton of Patreon signups this week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So the anuses need to be slapped. Thank you for everyone who signed up. See everyone in Discord if we haven't already. The Patreon pods will continue very late on Thursday night / very early on Friday mornings, New York time. And I'm going to read a lot of names right now. Nick Golden, Kitsana Panya, Jake Jarvis, James, Daniel Mays, Tosin Adesegha, FPL Lost, Alan West, Soon Balogun. Oh, Balogun. Prash, Samuel Libby, Daniel Briggs, Mucci, Seb Whaling, Max Barrow, Jorge Arteaga, Garrett Santiago Paz, Soham Mall, Elliot Jones, Laura Fitzgerald, Adam Lindberg, Garrett Anderson, Nosferatu Zod, Krister Wulseth, Hannes Bjartmar, Peter D, Alex Pari, Jonathan Keller, Stephen Bailey, Billy Gould, Thomas Freeman, Marty C, Noah Mara, Sean, Adrian Diamantis, Lukey Meyer, Darcy Corbett, Oscar Sinnaby, Timmy Tuna, Sean Doyle, Orhan Turgu, Groby Jones, James Kelly, Christopher Gjertsen, Rob Procunier, Jack, Nick Thompson, David Flynn, Ryan Good, Mitch Bork, and Robert Hames Holder. Get the fuck out of there! Let's go! Slap the ass, dude. Yeah.
We should get more than that every month, every week.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, we're only halfway through the month, so we might get more.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Holy shit. Welcome. Thank you for signing up. Good job by everyone.
It's fun having new friends. You know?
I know. We got like, I see like a new question or a new, like,
yeah.
Someone has a new opinion.
Uncle
I'm like,
Martha,
hey, are you new? Like,
yeah.
It's
and we
good.
Don't do fucking ball shaving advertisements.
Yeah. Speaking of that, the Manscaped one. No, not doing ads. Great way to be. Great way to live. That's it, dude. I think we did it. It's not even that long, honestly.
Yeah.
It's not crazy.
Oh, my God. We're back.
We're back, dude.
All right. So, Thursday pod.
Thursday pod. Any last words?
Right. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Check us out at fmlfield.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlfield. Support us at patreon.com/fmlfield. Subscribe, rate, review, and cheers.